Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome back to our broadcast. We promised you hot, late-breaking Oregon State Beavers news, and here is Mike.
Oregon State lands a commit today who will be the highest-rated defensive player to ever commit to the Oregon State Beavers.
Whoa.
He is a four-star inside linebacker. His name is Easton Mascarenhas, and he is the 11th-ranked inside linebacker in the country.
And one Andrew Nemec said that his stock was soaring, and had the shutdown not occurred, he was able to go to camps. He thought he'd be even higher than that.
And he is their best commit since Isaac Seumalo in 2012.
Wow.
This is a huge get for him. I guess they were saying that when he committed on the video call, the coaches were getting up and running around the room.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a huge get.
And he will be on recruiting with Andrew Nemec on Thursday.
Yeah.
What's his name?
His name is Easton Mascarenhas.
Look, because
Where's he from?
He is from California.
We all know that Oregon State needed an influx of talent, right? And Jonathan Smith has done a nice job of kind of getting the feet underneath that program again. But if you want to take the next step, you got to get better players. And the recruiting for a number of years had just been dreadful, and it had been trending up, and they'd been – I think there's some real positive momentum right now going in that program. If – They can ever end up actually playing the games. Ooh. I think things are looking up for Oregon State.
Yeah, I've got them. I'm looking here at the 247sports.com composite rankings for the 2021 college football class.
Yes.
Oregon State's ranked 101st.
Yeah, that's not very good.
They have two commits.
Yeah.
But this guy will vault them up.
Sure. And some of that is, again, you're ranked 100 and whatever just because you don't have a lot of commits.
Yeah. But. Yeah, now, yeah, it's way too early. But this does catapult us into something I wanted to talk about, which was, I don't know when we take football recruiting rankings seriously. You could argue not till like 3 years after they actually occur.
Yeah.
But they rank them, and, you know, we've fallen the trap. Did you see who the hot team is right now? There are two really smoking hot, sexy teams who are not your traditional powers per se, like top five. And again, this always changes. It's too early.
Yeah.
Because this is class of 2021. But do you know who it is? Do you know who it is, Bill?
No. So who's cheating?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's back to paying recruits?
Well, number one is Ohio State right now.
Well, that's the least.
But that's not
the
surprising.
Least surprising thing known to man.
Number two and three. So Clemson is four. Florida is five. Blue Bloods, we, you know.
Sure.
Call Ripley's. Number two is Tennessee.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And number three is North Carolina.
What?
Yeah. Mac Brown, bro.
Why?
Number six is Iowa.
Well, who's the Tennessee coach now?
Pruitt?
Is it still Pruitt?
Pruitt.
The defensive coordinator?
Pruitt.
He's still there? Tennessee hasn't done anything. Why is Tennessee recruiting at a super high level?
It kind of goes to what you're talking about with Oregon State. You know, get this one kid, and then other kids see, or kids have play with that guy, or other kids that know that guy's high profile, they follow. Like, you can get hot in recruiting.
Sure.
Right?
Well, and
if Tennessee's just hot. They got eight commits. They have 18 commits for the class, and they got eight guys just last week and four stars.
Well, and two, there's an element that Tennessee has amazing facilities. They may not be a blue blood in the sense that we think about Ohio State, but let's not act like Tennessee isn't a great program with a storied tradition, one of the largest stadiums in college football, a crazy fan base, facilities that are as good as anyone's. So Tennessee's got a lot going for it. And you do see that where a lot of times the kids, they want to go somewhere and build something as opposed to going in and just being another kind of cog in the machine. like at Alabama or something. So I can see that. The Tennessee one doesn't surprise me. The North Carolina one does a little bit. That one's a little, I question that a bit. It's again,
well,
not,
again, way
not,
early.
Well, North Carolina.
They have 10 four-star kids.
North Carolina has a history of, fudging some things from time to time. Oh, fake classes.
Well, yeah. I mean, like anytime you see, this is when Ole Miss was up there.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, what are you?
They're on probation from that. Yeah. Gee, shocking. Their coach is long fired, right? So Anytime you see this, when it's not Ohio State, LSU, Michigan, Texas, you know, the normal teams, Georgia.
You're like, what's going on there?
You're like, wait a minute. I don't know if Kansas falls into that category with this, but they are 26th, I would like to report.
Well, again, I think there's a difference between being 26th and being top 10. And,
Thank you.
Les Miles.
No five-star, no four-star, but they have 10 three-star kids.
Good.
Pretty exciting.
You know, some Oregon is sitting
They're cheating.
Oregon's what, sitting at 12th according to this? I'm looking at it.
No, they're 24th.
24th?
Yeah, you're looking at 2020. This is 2021. That's how early we are.
Okay.
So Oregon is 24th right now. Again, all this will change. USC 8th.
Yeah, some of this is like Iowa's not finishing in the top six.
Yeah, I just told you they were six.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Cougs 98th, if you're wondering about the Huskies and Cougs. Huskies 38th, Cougs 98th.
Okay. Well, again.
But it doesn't mean a thing.
That's really, really, really early.
Yeah, but it's good for Tennessee.
Sure. Well, look,
and it's good for North Carolina.
You can sit there and you can balk all you want at recruiting, but we know that if you
Brown will be good there.
If you're not a top 20 recruiter, you're just not. It's really hard to be relevant. And if you're not a top 10 recruiter, you're not winning a national championship.
Well, there's also this idea that, you know, if Tennessee rises again, or if North Carolina becomes a power, or Miami rises again, or I don't know, Maryland gets in there, or Baylor, whatever. Like, we want that. And we don't really.
No.
We don't. We want to watch the big boys. And the big boys are the same every year. Pretty much the same every year.
Well, and we know it's really hard for programs like that to...
And I guess Tennessee's one of them, but...
It's hard for programs to kind of on the come up to stay there. And it's one thing to show up occasionally and you're a blip on the radar, but to really become an established top... And you can become a top 25 program, but to become a top, you know, let's 10. Say 10 program...
It's the same 10 schools.
It really is. It's just really freaking hard to crack into that.
You can do it once, you know, like once.
Yeah.
You know, Tennessee may finish with the top 10 class, but they ain't going to do that 4 years in a row.
One wouldn't think, although a place like Tennessee does have some infrastructure where it would be a little easier than, let's say, if, like, you get a special year where, Kansas State did it a couple times, right, where they finished real high. Kansas State had built a good program under Bill Snyder, but they didn't build an elite program. They weren't competing for national championships. Virginia Tech was a really good program for a long time, and they got to a national title, and they were really successful. But again, were they truly elite? No, they just were. That's a level that is, for most programs, that's about as high as you're ever going to sustain it. Oregon had that for a while, where Oregon really got up there and were mixing it up, played in two national titles. But they haven't been able to reach that level again. And the idea that they're going to get back there and be there consistently, not that it can't happen, but it, you know, it's over the course of the program, you know, to get back to that rarefied air where they were with the Chip Kelly days, that's asking an awful lot.
What program would that has been a power at one time or another, would you most like to see return? Tennessee would be up there for me.
Yeah.
Well, I just think I don't know. I mean, Tennessee kind of feels like, we always said this with like Arizona State. Oh, sleeping giant. Well, is it?
No.
If it's never a giant, is it really? Tennessee is a sleeping giant.
Sure.
They have shown that they can win a national championship.
Well, like
big time money, big time stadium.
Alabama fell on its ass and they weren't very good. And Nick Saban went in there and built them into that.
Tennessee's like that.
My point is, if you had Nick Saban and you put him in Tennessee, he could build what he did at Alabama at Tennessee. I believe that.
Who would you want to see rise? Like for me, it would Syracuse? They're not a traditional power, though.
A traditional power that is.
But they're known for having some good running backs way back in the day.
Who?
Jim Brown, Ernie Davis, et cetera.
Ernie Davis?
Yeah.
I know Jim Brown. I don't know Ernie Davis.
Traditional.
They made a movie about him. The
traditional
Express.
Power.
Donovan McNabb running back?
No.
I remember him.
They had Marvin Harrison, Dwight Freeney.
Oh, yeah.
Dwight Freeney. Not running backs.
I can confirm Dwight
Freeney. So basically Jim Brown.
Really good.
But that's nice. We have Gale Sayers. You and I, we bond. Let's have beers. You know what mine is? Nebraska.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Nebraska get back up there.
I can see that.
I think they're cool.
And Scott Frost. You know,
I like their fans.
He's a likable guy.
Can I say Texas?
Yes. Yeah.
I just like their look. I like the vibe there.
College football would be way better if Texas were back, like big time back.
Now, I don't think they've ever been a blue blood necessarily. I would like to see a West Coast program, whether that's UCLA, USC, I guess would be the closest thing to a blue blood.
Washington.
I would like to see the rise of another West Coast team. I think Oregon with Cristobal is in a real good place. Again, whether they're going to be a top 10 team every year and they're going to win a national title, again, I think that's asking a lot. But I think Oregon is situated where Oregon football is back. The way they're recruiting and the juice they have in that program, I think Oregon is going to be a contender for the Pac-12 conference for the foreseeable future. And when you do that, you put yourself in a conversation for a national championship or at least the college football playoff. I would like to see one more school and a traditional one. So
USC,
UW, or again, I think UCLA a little bit has that. If you could get one of those schools, even Stanford, right? Because I like David Shaw, Cal. If you could see one of those schools rise up, because Cal wouldn't fall into the category of a traditional power. One of those three rise up, I would like that.
Maybe that'll be our poll question tomorrow. Remember I told you I'd do a hot one, a smoking hot one?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be this.
That's not bad.
I'll put USC on it.
That is a good poll question.
Tennessee, Texas. I'd
like Florida to be more exciting again.
Nebraska. What about Florida State?
Yeah.
No? I suppose.
Miami?
Miami, I would rather have Miami rise up than Florida State. And you know the last team to do this was Clemson. You know, Clemson won a national title in the 80s, and Clemson was a great program. And then it disappeared for a while. And then Dabo brought him back, and you know they won two national titles. And, you know, that is a blue blood that was a sleeping giant that came roaring back.
Is there a program that is not a former blue blood that's always been, you know, middling that you'd like to see rise up?
See, yeah, that's easier.
That's a good question.
That's easier for
because
me.
It's
Kansas.
Like, well, yeah, it's Syracuse. But that's why I think that's more interesting, because who would you find yourself rooting for of the middle tier teams?
Like you'd actually want to watch them. Like when Louisville's in there, you're like, whatever, get out of there.
Right.
Well, mine's twofold. One, selfishly, because I love the family. I would like to see Cal. I love the Wilcox family. I think he's a hell of a coach, and the challenges around winning at Cal. I would love to see Cal rise up and be that team. Do you know the other one that I've always kind of had a bit of an affinity for, even though, again, you know, just year to year, it's never been anything that special. Even though they did share a national title, I've always kind of liked Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
No longer running the triple option.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who'd they hire?
I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember who their coach is.
I don't think it was a notable name necessarily. Yeah.
But I don't know why. I guess
what was the last guy? Johnson?
Yeah, Paul Johnson.
Paul Johnson.
Growing up when, you know, Colorado and Georgia Tech split the national title.
Jeff Collins.
I don't know. I always liked Georgia Tech.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, they do nothing for me. I'm trying to think.
I liked when TCU was making their run when they were kind of a BCS buster. Gary Patterson's a real good coach.
Yeah, for some reason I like TCU.
I'm down with Oklahoma State a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not a Gundy guy. I think that guy's a...
Even though I'm not supposed to because they're a Syracuse rival, I always kind of liked watching West Virginia when they were good.
Yeah.
When they had the high-flying offenses.
Yeah. Rich Rod?
Yeah.
What about Minnesota and...
No.
No.
Row the boat, boy.
Nope.
No.
No?
Nope.
You sure about that, guys?
Yep.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.
I think he is a giant, giant turd. And then if we're going out west...
Yeah, but he's...
Give me Oregon, you're headed towards Oregon Turdville. State or Washington State... I loved the days when the Cougs were relevant and they went to some Rose Bowls and they were winning 10 games. And when Oregon State was battling Oregon in the Civil War for the Rose Bowl, phenomenal. I would love to go back to those days where we could cover those and have those both be relevant programs. And to be fair, Washington State has been relevant under Mike Leach. So that one, not so much. I just, for them to take the next step and win and go to the Rose Bowl, and for Oregon State to get back to where they were being competitive, I've always liked both of those schools just because they're the little brother and they're working with so much less than Washington and Oregon that it's fun when they're able to compete.
A couple people text Colorado. That's a good one. I'd like to see them good again.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I think if Colorado were back to form, USC were elite and you still had Oregon and Washington doing what they're doing,
way more interesting.
You want to talk about how cool the Pac-12 would be then? Then people would be paying attention to the Pac-12.
Yes.
Maybe Utah keeps going on the same train they're on as well.
Yeah, I like the Utes.
Get five, some good second-tier consistent teams.
Real strong programs there. All right, there's a little hot college football talk for you guys, all starting with, believe it or not, Oregon State recruiting news. Yes. Some guy named... Sangria? What was his name? Sangiovese?
What?
What was the guy's name?
Easton Mascarenas.
Macarena.
And I asked Andrew Nemec, please tell me the S is silent because I want his name to be Macarenas. It's not.
No. Uh-huh. But he's a four-star linebacker.
You know what I love
really,
about
really
Nemec?
Good.
He always knows how to pronounce all these guys' names.
Yeah, he's dialed in.
He knows. He. I love that. He does his homework.
Well, yeah. He
talks to them.
Well, I know, but a lot of those guys probably don't talk to the players, but they tell you that they do, or they you think that they do because they're recruiting, and they don't even know how to pronounce names.
Well, some of those names, especially...
Mascarenas.
Boy, some of the... like when he
You can expose yourself.
And he nails the Polynesian kids, too, and I'll tell you what, that's the toughie.
He nail... You're telling me that Andrew Nemec nails Polynesian kids?
He nails the names.
That's bad.
That's uncomfortable.
That's bad.
I just have always preferred the whites.
Good grief.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.